Deplorable Nation, the podcast of the people, by the people, for the people. For your rights, we fight. You decide. Facts. Is it really conspiracy? It's all up to you, patriots. Never give up.
Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of Deplorable Nation. All you gorgeous, sexy, wonderful, beautiful patriots out there, thank you for joining us again. I'm your host, Deplorable Janet, and I just want to say they have burning, looting, and killing as planned. It's time for you to take a stand because the United States, it's pretty grand. So everybody stand up because it's not going to stop until we do. So welcome to today's episode. I'm going to introduce my co-host first, Mr. Matt. How's it going today?
I'm not going to lie. Maddie's a little tired. Tired but inspired, baby, and willing to fight the fight. So let's do it.
That's fantastic news. And joining us today on this episode is Mr. Bob's Lessons. Bob, how are you doing today?
Hello, hello. Good and anxious to hear more about Matt's ongoing battles with the social justice curriculum at his daughter's school.
Yes. There's been so many happenings. So for people that didn't tune into the last episode, Matt made a video. It went viral. It has over 1.3 million views just on Twitter. Also been shared every place else on social media, so it's hard to keep track of everything. However, it was dealing with the BLM curriculum that is now being taught in the schools. So, Matt, tell us what's been going on since our last show last week.
It's, I'll tell you.
He clears his throat.
Yeah.
I know.
Jeez, dude. Like, let's put it this way. I used to complain about seriously not sleeping because I'm a total insomniac anyway. I just have a hard time shutting my mind off. But because of the stress of all of this, like for real, like seriously, like the mental stress obviously goes into the physical and you're just like worn out. I mean, there's days I've been laying on the couch and I just knock out for no reason at all. And I get back up and I'm like, oh no, wait, I got to call this person or I got to do X, Y, or Z. But yeah, so like after a week, this thing's been out. Did like over 500,000 views or something stupid like that. So much support. I mean, dude, really, like anyone out there who's listening, and I know we have a lot of like, you know, of our loyal people, man, thank you so much for everybody. Just, I mean, my whole goal with this is to really get the message out, you know what I mean, to all the parents, because I really feel as a parent, like what you're teaching my kid now is depressing her to where, I mean, even today, like we did our little pre-show thing and I was telling, you know, Janet and Bob there, I mean, my daughter's crying every day because they just keep pushing BLM down their throats. I mean, just pushing it. So it's every Tuesday and Thursday when they do their advisory, it's called advisory class. And I'm not shitting you, for like 4 or 5 minutes, she goes, they just pump this stuff. Oh, they were talking about the white Hispanic cop or whatever that shot the whatever, I guess that's a story that was going around, right? And that happened out here. And so they're playing the wide angle on this guy, but he was an actual Hispanic cop. You know, I mean, again, dude, it's race baiting. But dude, my daughter comes up to me today after the advisory thing and she goes, Dad, oh my God. And she's literally crying. She goes, they won't stop. So I go, write the principal again. And she wrote her a letter and I don't have it in front of me right now. But I mean, dude, as a dad to read it, it basically said, what you guys are doing is causing division and it's making me so depressed. Like she can't even function. And she, at the end of it, she said, I'm begging you, to the principal, my daughter's writing this 13-year-old eighth grader. I'm begging you, please stop. And we haven't heard anything back. And that was 4 hours ago.
I asked you this last week.
That's surprising.
I asked this last week, but I wanted to follow up. Since then, has she experienced any bullying or anything in the last week?
Not from the other kids, but from the school. I mean, just right. The curriculum in general. I mean, that's my whole point. Like I've said, dude.
Is they are the bullies, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, dude, who do you talk to? Because it's like she said with her mom. Her mom writes the school, and my daughter caught it. She goes, why are you writing the people that are causing me the problem? They're not going to give me the right solution. Because what they're going to do is say, oh, look, you know, you're crazy. Ah, look, her dad's the crazy white, you know, conservative guy. Look, the daughter's crazy. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, there's a whole other bunch of problems that, you know, like in Tennessee, you guys were saying they're trying to, you know, say that they can monitor the cameras and all that. Dude, out here, amen, thank God. And I know California's liberal as hell, but they haven't done that. And I was like, you do that shit and I will sue your ass.
Yeah. And Conspiracy Kyle, to give him a shout out, he put a post out that I shared today that shows, like, in preschool, his son, I'm going to pull it up right now. It says, yeah, this is what my son is drawing at preschool. And it says, color the children wearing masks. So it's, you know, if the child is wearing a mask, then you color it. If the child is not wearing a mask, then you leave it be. So it's already teaching that, you know, like, you know, the indoctrination part of it and normalization of mask wearing, and to almost give the people that don't abide by this code, like a scarlet letter of some kind, yeah, you know, ostracized. Yeah, yeah. Public shaming.
Look, just real quick on that note, for anybody that didn't catch it, you need to watch Glenn Beck's program on this.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck was given 800 leaked documents from the BLM movement and what they're teaching in school and what their plans are. He goes over it very well. He's got part one and part two. But I want you to be aware, this is not just junior high and high school. Right. The curriculum that they have goes all the way down to 2 years old.
Yeah, two. Exactly. Two. It's the second grade. I know, dude. It's sick. And that's the whole thing, like with the LGBT shit out here. We had a parent complain, and it's again, a friend of mine. It's a Mexican guy out here. He complained of his daughter because, like I said in one of the other episodes, they were like, oh, yeah, you know, bringing the whole LGBT thing to the elementary side. And I go, look, they try to get them younger and younger and younger all the time. And I'm like, again, these Catholic people are not going to go for this stuff. And by the way, you want to be this whole defund the police. Some of these kids' parents are cops. Like, dude, they're not going to go for this shit. You know what I mean?
It's Matt, what happened when you woke up over the weekend? What happened outside of your house?
Oh, yeah. So I did this video last Thursday. So a week had went by. So then it was this past Friday, Saturday. I wake up, no shit, Sunday morning. And in front of my car, and actually my girlfriend's car, only ours, is 3 foot. I posted this 3 foot chalk drawing of the letters BLM. And I'm like, I'm out there having my coffee. I always wake up, you know, go out, walk around. I have to get a little air and stuff, right? Have my coffee and I see that and I'm walking. I walk right in the middle of the street and I was like, motherfucker, dude. I look around and I walk the neighborhood. I'm not kidding you guys. On each like light pole, right? Like wooden pole on each corner in front of my place and across the street, there's 4 signs and you saw me post those and I kept them as evidence. And like my girlfriend's like freaking out. She's like, dude, they know where you're at. They're going to fucking, you know, get you. I'm like, dude, they better know how to fucking beat bullets because I will shoot motherfuckers, man. Do you come to my house and stuff? I mean, dude, who knows my address? The only people, as far as I know, that know my address is the school. I don't know if anyone there, because, dude, they know I've been giving them a lot of shit. I'm not saying that they would. I would really hope that they wouldn't do that because, dude, that would be you know, seriously fucked up, you know?
Bro, the conspiracy side of me says if the schools are linked up with an organization like BLM, who knows where the eyes are that are on you? And I'm not trying to make you paranoid or anything,
no, but
it's like, you know, I mean, similar intimidation tactics have been used to a lot of people, you know, in this fight, you know?
I'm pissed, dude. Like, dude, I only have my one daughter and it's just like, she was so excited to just get this year over with. She's had drama every year. She knows that I'm the one that fights for her on this. Her mom wants really nothing to do with it. And that's what's really making it weird at home for us. Cause I'm just like, yesterday I'm jumping up and down. She's like, well, what did you do today? Who did you talk to? She goes, I know you're going to tell me. And I finally told her this morning. So that's something else. And I actually got permission. I had going through my messages. I was looking through, not direct messages, but on like your feed. I looked at this guy and it said, hey, you know, I've been dealing with this stuff for years. DM me, you know, direct message me. And I was like, the guy's name was David Webb. And I'm like, who's David Webb? I'm like, God, that sounds so familiar. And like, you know, I got a billion things in my mind. So I'm not like really connecting it to, you know, the reporter, you know, he's got his own shows and all that. And dude, no kidding. I direct messaged the guy the same day, told him about all this was going on. He wrote me back, you know, privately, like not even an hour. He said, call me at this particular time after like Eastern time, gave me his direct cell number. And I actually talked to David Webb yesterday for probably about a half an hour. And dude, he's amazing. I'm so grateful for him. He's apparently been fighting this whole kind of thing in the school boards, you know, or school system, you know, these materials and protecting children and people's rights. So him and another guy from Clear Media or Clear Choice Media or something like that, right, on the East Coast, he gave me his name. And I heard him actually sending it. He goes, I'm going to go ahead and send him the video again just to show what you're talking about. He goes, but write him and tell him that I sent you. So I followed up. You know, I've been emailing and calling people so much now. It's like, I'm really, you're probably sounding like I'm losing my voice and just like losing sleep. And it's just like, I'm like, I hardly eat anymore. And it's like, I really got to focus on my health because, you know, I got to be healthy to fight this fight. So,
well, I have to laugh because when Matt messaged me the other day and he's like, dude, he's like, there's this guy that messaged me. His name is David Webb.
Yeah.
I about fell off the fucking couch. I was like, David Webb is fucking huge.
I know he was. David, yeah.
Oh my God, he's huge. He's a black conservative.
Right.
And he has been in Dallas, in New York, in Boston, in Houston. He has his own Sirius XM show.
Right.
He has his own show on Fox Nation. You can literally find this man everywhere. And he is a beast. He has gotten so many media awards and whatnot just for his program and his programming, where he's been going hard about the education system, religious topics, you name it. This guy is everywhere. And when he told me he was talking to David Webb, I'm like, I almost had a panic attack. I'm like, oh my God, that's insane. That's huge.
Get him on the podcast. And get him on the podcast.
Do you know what's, so I told him about it.
He's going to spread the word, which is amazing.
Yeah, I told him about the podcast and stuff. And I said, look, I know you, everybody probably is like, you know, check this out. And I said, this is, you know, again, I, you know, mentioned, you know, you guys and stuff. And dude, it was actually literally his direct, it wasn't like through an office and like, oh, let me connect you, dude. Like he picked the phone up. And he was like, hey, Matt, what's going on? I was like, no way. Like it was right. Cool. Cause I'd sent him my number and I said, I'll never pick up a phone. Like when someone calls me, if I don't have you in my phone log, I don't pick up the phone. So I said, just so that you know, it's me. But he did. He goes, hey, Matt, how's it going? Dude, I'm serious. Like, super nice guy. I was just like, oh, my God. I go, dude, thank you for, you know, he did. He just said, he goes, count me in. He's like, I'm definitely going to help you with this. And he's like, this is obviously a huge issue. And I go, you know, if anything that I want to come out of this is for all these people to not be afraid to get involved in your kid's life, man. I mean, dude, it's your kids. It's not the fucking right. school's kids. It's not the state's kids. It's not the government's. It's yours. So fucking do your goddamn job and pay attention, man.
So let me ask you a question. I know you're getting like overwhelmed with, you know,
yeah.
Twitter responses and stuff,
man.
As we all do sometimes. But I have a question. Are other parents actually getting involved? Are other parents like, hey, I want to be a part of this. I'm going to help you spread the word. Here's what's going on in my school corporation. You know, anything like that going on? Or are people just like, this is terrible?
Locally, I'll say this. There is one guy, and I've mentioned before, it's this Mexican guy, friend of mine, and he's the one who was talking crap about the LGBT, you know, scaring his little girl. And she comes home crying one day saying, oh, they're going to, you know, make us turn into a boy or whatever. She really thought because of what they were saying that she was going to like change into the opposite sex.
Right.
So as far as local families, and that's the beautiful thing for them during the lockdown is that we can't communicate with each other. Like if you don't have everyone's number, it's not like I can call the school and go, hey, give me a parent director of everyone's names and emails so I can talk shit about you guys. You know what I mean? They're not going to do that. So I have like one family there. But if you mean around the world and people responding to my, oh my God, dude, yeah, I have people in, let's see, they're just waiting for me. But now that I got David Webb, I said, I think this is going to be even cooler to reveal it on your show or one of these other shows from Choice Media, just because of who you are in his story last year of they accused him of being a white supremacist, but he's an African-American guy. It's like, you guys didn't do your research. It was so funny.
It was the funniest thing. I don't know, Bob, if you saw that or not, but there was a black woman that he was interviewing, and it was like, you know, she's like instantly, well, you're a racist. And he's like, ma'am,
I'm black.
He's like, obviously you're not aware that I'm a black man.
It's so funny.
And, it's like, and she was like,
it's like when that, it's like when that black Trump supporter with a MAGA hat and American flag just marched through Chaz, like the way everybody looked at him, because it's like almost like they see the glitch in the Matrix. You know, they're like, wait a second, our perfect utopia has a glitch in it, and that glitch is the African-American conservative. What am I going to say to this man? I can't call him a racist and all these other labels that I apply to everybody else. Do I actually have to go up and have a conversation with this man?
They can't.
Well,
do
that. That's when they try to bury those stories, like you're a cat digging in the litter box, because you know they want to bury that so deep, so that because it doesn't fit their narrative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a piece of poo they're trying to cover up.
Oh gosh, that's
very good visual. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Hope everyone already ate lunch and everything.
No ding dongs for lunch for me.
Oh dang it. So, as far as like parents reaching out from other places, do you have people that are going to be your contact people for other, places around the country?
You know, I'm trying to get like a little network thing going on. So like I've had a lot of people from England. I've had people from China, obviously United States. Oh my God, dude, the stories, if you just read, man, it's crazy. And it's cool to know you're obviously not alone. And it's like, I have a 12-year-old son. I have a 13-year-old daughter. I mean, people going, dude, I'm praying for you. I mean, dude, I'm doing what my father did. My dad was a union guy, and he loved the unions, but he fought corruption while he was in the union. And I'm just like, the other day I had this, like, you know, thought of him going, oh, my God, this is, you know, oh, wait, the school's writing right now. Hold on. Wait, what's
I just want to say, while he's reading that right now, if the school is disclosing the information as to his address, because number one, not just the address, but how the hell do they know which cars are which? Matt has been really nice and very reserved and not released the name of the school.
Right. Right.
And I'm just saying, you really don't want to try the intimidation tactics too much, because you yourself are going to get exposed. And if you think that hellfire and brimstone are not going to rain down on your school system,
yeah,
you're sadly mistaken.
Well, you know, that's what gets me. It's like, you know, again, not to beat a dead horse, dude, no one asked us for this curriculum. And like I said, to me, it would be like going into a Jewish community and selling easy bake ovens and shit. You know what I mean? And saying, hey, we got free train rides for everybody. Don't worry. Everything's free. It's fine. We've got it covered. I mean, dude, when I first moved to Hollywood, somebody said, if anyone says, trust me to you, they're saying, fuck you, and you need to turn around and run, right? I mean, dude, this doesn't even seem like fucking school anymore. This is such bullshit every goddamn day. And I, like I said in this letter I wrote to the teacher that put it out, by the way, he's a fucking Asian guy, and I have nothing against Asian people, but I'm just like, dude, really? You're going to go and preach hatred?
BLM.
Yeah, to a bunch of Mexican kids.
Yeah.
While you're behind your computer, let's see you go do it out there, because I'm telling you, my neighbors are pissed off. Like, I've already talked to all the ones around here that I know their kids are the same age, and they're just like, dude, what does this have to do? And I go, with anything but politics. It's so divisive.
It doesn't.
Yeah, so it's just like, quit it.
And the whole systemic racism, their catchphrase, systemic racism.
Stop it.
Systemic racism did not even have root in America until you started teaching it in our school system, because you're teaching blatant racism. And I just want to say, the people, and I've said this so many times, the people that think they're outside of these crazy mobs, and
they
they're
going
to be safe from them,
they will come for
they're
you.
They're sadly mistaken, because Portland's mayor, and this just happened, and it was on the news today.
Yep.
You know, he's like blaming Trump, and, oh, it's Trump's racial division, and it's Trump's fault that all this stuff is happening. Okay, Portland has been under siege for almost 100 days now.
Yeah, like 3 months.
Portland, the Portland mayor is a fucking whiny ass weeny baby, and he can't do his fucking job. He's like goddamn de Blasio. Right. So anyway, yesterday, the protesters that he supports showed up at his house, set an arson fire. Oh my God, and now he had the police classify it as a riot.
Oh, I didn't hear this. See, I knew the thing before they...
Yes.
I didn't hear
this. That was on the news today.
Oh, wow.
And so, isn't it funny how these mayors and these governors don't give a rat's ass about these people that their agenda is to burn, loot, destroy, and now kill, because we've seen the videos of the BLM people right. that were celebrating shooting people and killing people and whatnot. So it's okay. And they're peaceful protests, kind of like CNN always, you know, posts their stories that they're peaceful protests with pictures of buildings burning to the ground in the back. They don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about your business. They only give a shit when these fucktards show up at their houses.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same thing happened in Minneapolis after George right. Floyd, where the mayor was among the people, and he's like, I'm with you. And then this lady was like, right. We have an election coming up. Will you agree that you will dismantle the police? And
everybody's
like, yeah. And the mayor, like, literally, he looks sad. He like and the camera angle was so belittling too. Like the whole visual right. of it, the optics of it was so
he looked little.
Yeah, he looked so just like helpless and little, and they booed him, you know, they basically booed him away
they
and
threw
he had
his
to,
ass out.
Oh, they threw him out. But it reminds me, and I pulled this up and I mentioned it briefly on the No Mercy pod the last episode too, but I kind of want to read it again because this was a book written by a black guy. His name was Manning Johnson in the mid 60s, kind of like during the height of you know, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all along the same thing. And this was like right when Malcolm X was speaking out against communism. And the book was called Color, Communism, and Common Sense. So like at the beginning of chapter two, the title is called Subverting Negro Churches. I'm just going to read this passage. So it says, creating doubt, lack of confidence, suspicion, setting up situations that bring about racial bitterness, violence, and conflict, putting forth demands so unrealistic that race relations are worsened, attacking everybody in disagreement as reactionaries, fascists, Ku Kluxers among whites, and Uncle Toms among Negroes. This constitutes the Reds pattern of operation. What he means by the Reds pattern of operation, the communist pattern. Yeah, communist. Not the conservative. So what he's saying is basically what's happening in Portland and Minneapolis and all over, that you're creating racial divide. Anybody that's in disagreement and reactionary is a fascist, but also you're putting forth demands that are so unrealistic that eventually the witch hunt comes to you, comes directly to your apartment right. or comes directly
to
your
house. Dude, that's such a killer point because I said, killer point. That's so funny because right? the kid's quick today.
Cha-cha.
No, but before I made that video, like last Thursday or whatever, you know, like a week ago, I called the principal immediately and I said exactly what you said. I go, you know what? What happens when these people turn on you? You're a white woman running a Mexican right. school. You don't think at one point they're going to go, wait a minute, she's got white privilege. She has the highest right. paying job with the highest position. Either resign because she's going to have to cater to the mom because now you support this, or you're going to lose your fucking job and never work in this career ever again. I mean,
or get a DNA test and find out that you're 1/1000th Native American and identify as Native American.
Hey, let the revolution begin.
You know?
My God, man. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, this is not just taken over schools, but it's taken over all the businesses. I talked to a friend yesterday whose mother works for a store, which I won't say the name at the moment, unless somebody just makes me, because I'm dying to release it.
Oh, me
so
too,
anyway,
man.
They had a quote leaders meeting where they were instructed specifically to promote only black folk.
Wait, where was this at?
At a large shopping chain.
Okay.
That may or may not have been destroyed in Minneapolis and multiple other places that may be owned by somebody with the initials GS.
Oh, God.
Hmm.
Oh, boy.
Is the French word Target? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. No, that's just an educated guess. But no, I mean, like, we're seeing this all over. I even saw a commercial the other day where I was watching a video and it cut to a commercial and it shows, like, it went like, you know, that it was a commercial where we're fighting for equality. And, you know, it shows somebody in a wheelchair come out, then somebody with another disability come out. And then out walks a black woman, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, OK, is the left pushing up black people as if they have like a disability? Because it's almost like that's how they treat it, like being black is a disability, and it's up to the white man to you know, because this all ties into the whole white man burden thing. I don't know if everybody's heard about the concept of the white man's burden, which goes back to the British Empire, by the way, and it's an empirical rule where they colonized, you know, non-white nations in Africa, South America, et cetera, when they were in their big colonization. And they thought that, you know, well, that was the whole concept, is that it was up to the superior white man to instill the virtues and the values to the non-whites, because that, you know, they're almost like a lesser being. And it's like the same thing that the left is promoting right now with all of their pandering. And like, literally, when I saw that, I was like, huh, that's a really good visual representation. Like, are they going to eventually give minorities like a handicap sticker for parking and stuff like that? Like, honestly, like, I would be offended if I saw that video, you know, like if I just don't understand how more people don't see the phoniness and the ulterior motive behind a lot of this stuff, you know?
Well, and the whole thing is, to me, people are equal. People are people. I don't see your skin color as an issue. I don't see if you're male or female is an issue. But keep in mind that one of the co-founders of the whole BLM organization made it abundantly clear that white people are subhuman and should be exterminated.
Hmm.
Now, is that what we're pushing for? Like, kill all whiteys?
Yeah,
because they're targeting Trump supporters and anybody that is white. How many Trump supporters that are black have been shot out in the street lately?
Mm.
None. It's white people. And I don't understand how people are not getting this. These people are being funded. The president had an interview yesterday with Laura Ingraham. And they discussed, you know, there were people, normal passengers on this plane. There was like six normal passengers. And then the plane filled up with protesters and thugs. They're flying them around the country. So somebody has really deep pockets to fund plane tickets to fly these thugs from Washington to Wisconsin or Washington to wherever else these things are going on. And the media is so complacent and so complicit in reporting that these are peaceful protesters. They're seeking out people. Their leaders are giving speeches that they want to kill everybody that is against them, that doesn't think like them. They want to kill the president. There was a video posted yesterday of a BLM leader where he specifically said they want to take over the White House and kill the president. They want to kill all of his supporters.
Well, they ain't going to get away with that shit without a fight, baby. So
a lot of these people, like the Kyle Rittenhouse case and whatnot, right. Okay, there's been shit tons of video where they identified the faces of these other people that tried to attack him. Kyle Rittenhouse was the only person that was charged. The other people haven't been charged with anything.
It's like it literally, like, it reminds me, like, when you're saying how they label it peaceful protesters, and, you know, it's funny how, like, as soon as the labels attach, the amount of people that just go along with it, it'd be like if, like, you know, Janet, if, like, this is a hypothetical, by the way, or let's just be general. If a husband was cheating on a wife and a wife walked in and you're cheating on me, and he goes, "No, honey, I'm peacefully, you know, cohabitating with somebody else. It's not cheating. It's a peaceful entanglement, you know?"
Keep,
and you're like,
keep
"Oh,
going. I'm writing all this down. This is
okay,
awesome.
Peaceful entanglement. I'm sorry for calling you a cheater. Please proceed with your peaceful entanglement. Call me." You know, it's like
exactly.
It's amazing.
Wipe up when you're done.
Yeah, like, it's amazing how people are tricked by the word choice, which is why that's very important when you see this. What, you know, when we talk about, like, newspeak, that's what it is. Like the 1984 right. term, just like, you know, we talk about the Patriot Act, you know, or the Department of Defense. What if we called it the Department of War? You know, like the word choice, or global warming turned to climate change. You know, all of these word choices are very calculated.
The optics of it is very, the optics of what you're trying to achieve, of course, your agenda.
So peaceful entanglement, that's a new one. I think Jada Pinkett Smith said something about that when she was cheating on Will Smith and they had their little conversation about it. She called it like an entanglement or something like that.
She did. I saw that.
Yeah, I run into naked women all the time, just at random. You know, oh, sorry about that there. My goodness.
My bad.
I think they used to call that an oops-a-daisy.
Oops-a-daisy. A Freudian slip of the, you know what.
And then when I found out I had to pay child support for 18 years, it was an oopsie-daisy on me.
Oh, cha-cha.
Oh, man.
So on those same lines, you know, it's so funny because, like, the whole deal with Biden and Harris where it's like, oh, yeah, this is great. Oh, my God, the protests are wonderful. Oh, everybody, blah, blah, blah. And then their poll numbers are fucking going in the toilet. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, we're polling really terrible because people don't want their fucking houses and their businesses burnt down.
Yeah.
And now they come out and they're like, oh my God, we're condemning the violence and the riots.
And we caused.
But it's all Trump's fault. And I just want to say, anybody that does not know, lovely camel toe, heels up, whatever you want to call her, was on Stephen Colbert's show, which he is my least favorite on the planet, because I don't find him funny.
He's a douche, too.
She was on his show. It aired June the 17th, and she said the protests are not going to stop, not ever, period.
Yeah.
Even after the election, they will never stop. So mind you, lovely camel toe also had a tweet that she put out on June the 1st. Asking everybody she knows to please give money to the Minnesota Freedom Fund. Put out this mass call to donate. And guess what they did with the Minnesota Freedom Fund? They bailed out all the protesters, looters, and rioters. So you're advocating for the groups that are causing the mayhem and the violence and the upheaval. And then you're turning around and going, oh, I didn't have anything to do with this. It's all Trump's fault. And shame, shame, because now we're calling out violence. Why can't you? That's the media narrative today, because even the fucking New York Times, which is a trash receptacle paper, but they put out a story today stating that Biden and Harris called out all the violent protest, but why can't Trump? Mother, I'm just going to say it. Mother of fucking hell. Are you people blind or goddamn fucking retarded?
I am.
And just trying to snow a nation because what has Trump been doing nonstop since the beginning of all of this horseshit? If you need the National Guard, we will call them in. We are here to help. We don't condone tearing down statues, burning buildings, looting, rioting, blah, blah, blah. And then they're trying to say that Trump has never said a word about it.
Yeah. On the No Mercy podcast, Ben made a good point that Donald Trump is acting like the law and order president, and he's operating within the framework of the executive branch, and he's not overstepping it, basically saying we have the resources and it's up to you, the cities and the states, to ask for it or to deny it.
Right. And that's the thing people need to understand. So I'm going to ask a question. I already know where I stand on this. So this is for Matt and Bob. Do you think Trump should go in guns blazing in all these cities and call in the National Guard and all this stuff? Or do you think he's more intelligent by letting these places destroy themselves, letting people see? Because keep in mind, we have social media now, so people see the videos and shit every night. So what do you think? What do you think is smarter?
I'll let you go first, Matt.
I would say the second one, because it's kind of like what I'm doing. I mean, I could have came out blazing with the school and just, dude, released everybody's email. And I have that right. I mean, you know, by law, it's a public school, right? It's like, you guys want transparency. It's like, dude, here you go. I'm playing the long game, and I agree with him. Let you guys destroy yourself. Dude, over here in East LA, when this shit first started happening, long time ago, I posted, it took 2 weeks to get the National Guard over here. And we had people down on our famous Whittier Boulevard. That's like Melrose Boulevard in Hollywood would be the equivalent.
Right.
It's got a lot of history, a lot of lowriders and stuff. Day one, they started screwing with the locals. Antifa or BLM people were down there. And I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to go well. The next night, the locals came out and kicked the shit out of everybody and ran them off. That's why I'm saying, with what I'm talking about with the whole school thing and religion and these people being religious and valuing their family and all that, dude, they're going to side with me. They're not going to care the color of my skin. They're going to agree with my message. So, yeah. But yeah, no, I would play, I'd play the long game. I would be like, no, you guys sit back and guess what? It's like he said on his speech. These are all Democratic run. I was talking to a neighbor friend of mine. This lady I don't think is going to ever talk to me again. She's like, your president's causing all this. And I go, how can that be true when in California we've had 160 years of nothing but Democrat control and supermajority in all of the Senate and local, you know, government? You know, you can't blame somebody when you don't reach across the aisle and you go, it's our way or screw you. I mean, you created this problem. Now you got to deal with it. So, yeah, he's doing it right. He should wait. Let him do it. I mean, it's horrible to see and it's terrible, but it's like, we're not doing it. We're telling you we don't want this. We're telling you law and order is the way. And by the way, you got to figure, a lot of the kids that go to my daughter's school, I told her this morning, because they're all defund the police and all that too, and not all lives matter, only black lives. I go, do you realize how many of these kids' parents are ex-military and ex-police? They're going to shit. They're going to shit their fucking pants when they read this stuff. They're going to start throwing stuff at you. So, yeah, that's what I would say. But
yeah, to, you know, just further piggyback on that, the reason why the second option is the stronger, there's so many elements to it. And, you know, I've been saying this since right after the George Floyd incident, because, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, Trump's not doing enough. Well, everybody thought on the left that he was going to be this fascist dictator, you know, just destroying the Constitution. Well, in reality, he's acting within the framework of how a president should act. And it also shows the limited role of the executive power when done correctly and the power of the states, which is what we talk about all the time with the Electoral College. So if you allow the states to operate and to, you know, within their own framework, then it shows what happens when your state is run by a particular party or a philosophy that has overriding authoritarianism, as well as just, you know, lack of leadership, a lack of any type of law and order, and is allowing this kind of stuff to happen. So, you know, when we talk about elections too, because that's part of the element too, is we're talking about the independent voter. We've said over and over again that your staunch Trump supporters are going to vote Trump, and your staunch Democrats are going to vote for Biden, but there's a lot of gray area in there. And so it's really that independent vote that you're looking for. And I'm not saying he's letting these cities burn for the purpose of an election. What needs to happen is people that are independent voters needs to see what happens when we allow these types of leaders and these types of policies to flourish without intervention. It's like, oh, this is what happens when they get their way. And then in my opinion, it will prevent future, riots to happen, further on down the line. Because if we continue on this pattern, we're going to see the same destructive nature every 4 years. Yeah. So my opinion is let it happen now. There's going to be casualties. There's going to be collateral damage. I hate that word, but that's just how it is. There's going to be casualties. That is a byproduct of this. But in order to prevent this from happening all the time, I really feel like this is like the exorcism that needs to happen right now.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm in 100% agreement with that. And I know there's a lot of people that are really irritated that he's not doing things and he's not going into these cities. However, under the laws of the United States, that's why states have certain powers.
Right.
So he can't overstep those. So I want people to understand that. It's highly important, and optics are everything.
Of course.
And you have to let these people expose themselves. Okay. And so you got all these governors and all these mayors that are allowing this shit to happen. And then they refuse help, which needs to be necessary that they refuse the help. And then the governors are like, oh my God, we are in a state of emergency because we need federal funding to bail us out. So, brilliant fucking move, because all of these governors and stuff are sending letters, which he has, stating that they don't need your help, they don't want your help, they don't want you in there, blah, blah, blah.
Until they come to your house.
Then when they turn around and come and ask for funding, guess what? We can't help you. We offered help. We offered help multiple times. You denied it. You don't want us there. So, guess you're not getting taxpayer dollars.
All I can say, and I think a lot of us know this, it's like, excuse me, playing the long game of anything. I mean, I'm not a chess player, but it's like, I really feel like that. And I got to be totally honest with you. If you asked me the same question when I was 25, I'd say, fuck everybody, go in guns blazing and just, I mean, really, literally kill all these people and send a message, but you can't do that unless you're like Singapore or North Korea. Not really, you know what I mean? So again, we're adults. We've got, like you said, legally, you got to do it. Because the second, it was almost like they were taunting him. Oh, come on, dude, send him in. Mm-hmm. Don't you have any balls? And it's like, I know
that's
what I'm doing.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the bait on that shit. I mean, dude, this guy has dealt with heavy-ass business people his whole life. Do you honestly think that any of this stuff is new to him? This is like a walk in the park for this fucking guy. He loved this shit. He gets off on this shit, dude. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know too many 73, 74-year-old men who can go up on a stage or give, you know, three speeches in a day and then just sit there and troll the shit out of the world. I mean, dude, if that guy was not on Twitter, Twitter would go out of fucking business, man.
Amen to that.
Say it.
So I want to bring up one thing that people probably are not aware of. So during the protest and stuff in Seattle, there was this organization that was set up. It's called Riot Kitchen. Now get that, Riot Kitchen. Their point of setting this company up was to provide free food service for looters and rioters in Seattle. So this company also made its way to Minneapolis for the riots, and now they were in Kenosha. So a concerned citizen noticed some suspicious vehicles. They called the police. The police set up surveillance on these vehicles. They observed them for quite a while. And then they went over and stopped them so they could search their vehicles and stuff because they had suspicion they were getting ready to carry out something heinous. So according to the police statement, these vehicles were apprehended. One tried to get away, but inside the vehicles were multiple fuel cans, helmets, gas masks, illegal fireworks, and protective vests. Now, if Riot Kitchen is supposed to be providing food, gee, I wonder why they only had riot gear in their vehicles. Curious, huh?
I mean, yeah, I know you got to wear an. I know you got to wear an apron and stuff when you cook, but Jesus, God, man!
I'm cooking with fireworks. God damn it! It's going to be spectacular. It's going to be explosive.
I don't know what kind of hamburgers you guys are cooking up, but fuck it, I'll pass today.
I've heard of explosive diarrhea, but this takes it to like a new level.
And pour more fuel on the fire. We gotta get those burgers cooked.
So it's really called Riot Kitchen, huh? So it's not just a clever name.
Riot Kitchen. And then Riot Kitchen was pissed because the police department stopped some of our crew from serving food to the people. Serving food? Are they eating fireworks and helmets and gas masks? Are they eating gas?
Well, if you are.
I mean, that's a fetish. People do eat gas. Just saying. Fart gas, not gas. But I'm just, who names their business Riot Kitchen in the first place? And then it was like, oh, feel sorry for all of our people that were arrested because... Are you serious?
You know what? Seriously, Janet, when you first were talking about this, I mean, I know it's a real thing, but I was like looking at it from another point of view, right? And like, it's almost like it's not even real. It sounds so fucking ridiculous to me. It's almost just like it's utter bullshit. I mean, I know it's a real thing, but dude, like I'm sitting here talking the way you're, maybe it's the way you're saying it, but it just sounds like it's a joke. But that's even what's more scary is the shit's fucking real, man.
So think about a while ago when I said that there were people paying for plane tickets.
Right, right, yeah.
For these communist shitbirds to fly all over the United States to burn down your city. Okay, so now you got them also in vehicles. Yesterday, compliments of one of our listeners, they were at a truck stop and took pictures of multiple charter buses, you know, like the Greyhound bus or whatever, multiple charter buses that are brand new with BLM and Antifa painted on the side that had armed guards outside carrying protesters. Now, I just want you to think about that. You have charter buses. You have a riot kitchen. You have airplane tickets. This is being funded by someone that has a shit ton of money. And they're all about demanding people give up their houses, shooting people, killing people, burning down your business, your house, you know, defund the police, destroy the schools, kill the cops, blah, blah, blah. People, wake the motherfucking hell up. BLM is not a movement for black people. BLM is not fighting for equal rights or equal justice because the BLM people that have been arrested, even if they kill somebody, like the guy that killed the Trump supporter the other night in Portland, He's already been arrested on gun charges before he was let go. No bond, no bail, no charge, no nothing. Scot-free, and then he went on to kill someone. So think about two things. Number one, how many criminals at the start of the COVID stuff did they let out of prison for, wink, COVID concerns? Okay. How many of these criminals have joined this, wink, BLM movement that are now burning and killing people and destroying homes and businesses, and now they're going into neighborhoods demanding people give up their homes and stuff? What part of that is equal justice for people? Because these people are being arrested, released with no charges, no bail, no nothing. But if you do something against one of them, you go to jail.
Well, it looks like I'm going to be fucking probably before long, because the way things are going over here. Hey, I wanted to read something, if you don't mind. I think it kind of ties in. I think I
did
it on the pre-show. So I had a lady write me on Twitter, and her name is War Noose, Warnuse. And it's just this little screenshot she'd sent, and she tagged my name, and it says, "Remember the $18 billion George Soros transferred to his Open Society foundations? Well, he's partly funding National Association of State Boards of Education, or the NASBE. So I was just like, so everything you were just saying, that's probably where the money's coming from.
Exactly. And people can research themselves on this subject. Yeah. There was just a Supreme Court case with a ruling against his Open Society Foundation.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. It's highly important because they no longer have 1A protections. Exactly. Yeah. Because of their
affiliations,
standings. Yeah. So I want you to think, and I want you to start researching people, are who are these people that want all of you dead, want all of you destroyed, all of your cities burnt down so they can implement communism? Think about that. Who is the person who has been fighting against the United States for a very long time? Mm-hmm. Who are the people who have been fighting against the United States for a very long time? There's a lot of tentacles in his organization.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
they're real, real big on blackmail and intimidation tactics and whatnot. But I will tell you, if you don't fucking stand up for your rights and take a stand, and these fucking goddamn communist pig fucks show up in your city, if you don't put a stop to it, you won't have a chance, because they'll exterminate you just like they've done in other countries.
Oh, yeah.
It's history. Study history. Anyway, that's my two cents.
I think, you know, I always talk about the extermination of ideas as being equally or more dangerous as an extermination of people, because that's where the infiltration, the new long game tactic that they have, is being implemented. And one of the things I talked about pre-show that I did want to talk about real quick is online censorship. And the new thing that came out today was Joe Rogan went active on Spotify, and selectively Spotify decided to take off specific episodes that had, just so happened that some of them, you know, are controversial, characters or celebrities or comedians or, you know, influencers that are considered, whether or not they are, right-leaning, pundits, you know. So even people that aren't considered right-leaning, but by the left standard are now right-leaning, have been taken off of the Spotify Joe Rogan list, including Joe Rogan, Milo, Stefan Molyneux, which I find is hilarious, Sargon of Akkad. And the one I do want to mention is Owen Benjamin. And the reason I want to mention Owen Benjamin is because he was one of the earliest casualties of censorship, whether or not you like him or a fan of his or not. He is a comedian, and comedians are, their role is to speak on the taboo. Right. And so when you start censoring comedy, you run a you're really on a tightrope. Because to me, if you start censoring comedy, that's the number one indicator of the direction of society, that it's going towards a more politically correct censorship, infiltration, brainwashing, whatever you want to call it, MK Ultra, monolithic idea where anything on the taboo or outliers are being censored until you end up with a Chinese Communist Party type thing. So now you're seeing cucked comedians as the center, you know, getting all the Netflix specials and anybody that's talking about the real shit. Because listen, comedians, they're supposed to make you cringe. You ever listen to Richard Pryor? Go listen to Richard Pryor.
Back in the 80s, of him, Eddie Murphy, George Carlin, those guys were brilliant.
Yeah, look at I even go back to Dave Chappelle's first season. His first episode, there was a skit where he plays a racist black person, blind black person, who's a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Okay, that's like his first skit where he plays a blind black Ku Klux Klan member who never knew he was black his entire life. And he was an important part of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, like, this is the kind of stuff that probably wouldn't get airtime today. And so when you start seeing comedians getting censored, and Owen Benjamin was one of the worst casualties of it because he's been taken off every platform.
Right.
Another one was Jordan Peterson's daughter I just saw was getting censored. And I remember she was speaking out on a specific diet that she used, which was similar to like a carnivore diet, which is like a meat based diet that she used as well as her dad, Jordan, used. And she got censored. So she made a list of just like 100 episodes that got taken off the Spotify playlist. So this is important because when Joe Rogan, he's got millions of fans, and a lot of people, longtime listeners like myself, I stopped listening to him because his tone changed. Now, do I think he was compromised by the CIA? I don't know. I don't really give a shit about that. I just think that he's doing what he needs to do in order to survive, and I just don't want to follow the show. But when he decided to change to Spotify, that's when I started really just kind of, you know, like red flags started popping up. And this was an example of what we were all afraid of today, which is the censorship that goes on a platform like Spotify. Our podcast, No Mercy Podcast, got taken off of Spotify. Like, this is a real extermination of ideas. And it just so happens that a lot of these episodes that were selectively edited out had to do with people that had taboo ideas, you know? So,
you know, that's weird.
You know, because
I might know another podcast that got removed from Spotify.
Which one would that be?
It might have been something about deplorable
country
nation?
Or deplorable island, deplorable
island. There you go. I like that. I like that. That's cool. Deplorable island. Get your ass.
We're going to make our own TV show, damn it.
Get your ass off Deplorable Island, baby.
With Janet and Matt Moss, too, and Sideshow Bob. Oh, their guitars. You know?
Oh, man.
We can do a whole show on that. It would be fucking fantastic.
Bob, check for a gas leak at your house right now. I think you're slipping away.
I don't know if it's gas leak, but you know, my guy came through last night, so I'm having a good time.
So. Yeah. I just hooked up today, too. No worries.
All right, good. But,
okay, so two things.
Yes.
I've got to mention this because this is hilarious to me. When I first saw this story, I'm like, oh my god, this is brilliant. So the DNI Radcliffe, and he's the director of National Intelligence, he's amazing. I love him.
I thought you were talking about Harry Potter.
No, no Harry Potter here.
Go ahead. Damn it.
So he made a statement that they were going to stop doing intelligence briefings with Congress members.
What?
Due to the massive leaks in media, massive leaks to the media of classified information immediately following Sessions, which is fucking hilarious because who is it that always was being, as soon as there was a briefing, they immediately ran out to a microphone? Can anybody think of someone?
Adam Schiff.
Yeah, I was about to put Schiff.
That
Schiff.
Might have been Schiff. Schiffy Jifferton. So anyway, of course, Pelosi and Schiff are fucking pissed. They're having a goddamn meltdown because, oh my God, we need these briefings and you're holding. You're withholding information from the American people because they need to know about Russia. Okay, so it's all going back to the Russia thing. Anyway, that's the Democrat narrative. However, I will tell you, there's one little bitty person who's a Republican that's also having a meltdown crisis.
Is it Shit Romney?
No, his name was Little. In the Republican presidential nominations and stuff from 2016.
Yeah, Marco Rubio?
Yeah, it would be the one.
Wow.
Ding, 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 winner.
Wow.
Hold on. Oh.
Yes.
So, anyway. And he's not going to do in-person briefings with Congress members anymore because they leak worse than a faucet. So anyway, he's going to put briefings in writing.
Oh, no. What could go wrong with that?
With classified information, but guess what? Classified information in a written brief is way harder to leak to the media. I just wonder if maybe some of the briefing material might be altered for certain people to see if they can catch the leaker.
Yes, and that's a tactic that's been used before to catch leakers.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Democrats are in full meltdown mode because it's not fair. Oh my God, you can't withhold information from the American people because it all centers about Russia. Oh my God. It has nothing to do with Russia. It has to do with the number one leaker in chief. That would be Mr. Schiff. And so anyway, I thought that was...
You know who Adam Schiff reminds me of? Remember Stuart from On in Living Color? Look what I can do.
Stuart, look what I can do.
Yeah, dude, that's him.
Oh.
That's him.
I made memes of him earlier where I put, like, blush on his hair and sparkles around his head and stuff.
Oh, he's a crunchy little cookie, isn't he?
He's a crunchy something.
He's going to say frosty beverage.
Oh my God, maybe Nancy will share her vodka.
Uh-huh.
Pew, pew.
Did you hear what,
so anyway.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me kind of like what Trump said on Laura Ingraham's show. He was there. He basically, let me see if I can find the quote. I know it was in the tick. So he was on the show and he basically, like, she asked him who's pulling Biden's strings. I don't know if you saw his answer to that. He was like, we got them all. And like, there's people that you never heard of. Mm-hmm. And like people, and I think he said like something like dark shadows. There's people in the dark shadows. I was like, oh, okay. This just gave me a MAGA boner. Just hearing that, you know,
You got MAGA wood, baby.
I got MAGA wood. Yes, right. From that, you know, so, you know, same thing with these leakers. I think Trump's doing a little bit of his own leaking just to kind of plant the seed to let them know that, hey, we know who's pulling the strings. We know who's in the shadows right now. We know who the shadow government is.
Can you guys imagine, though, seriously, if you know, like I said, Trump was playing the long game, obviously, with this. Dude, the guys, I mean, I don't care if you like him or not, dude, all the stuff he's doing by, again, letting the cities burn themselves and just be like, dude, you guys are doing it. You don't want my help. And it's like, again, like I said at the school, these kids are going to turn on you at one point. I'm like, you're not cool to them. They don't give a shit about this stuff. They want to, they're all, dude, they're all the age where they care about each other and relationships and video games and bullshit like that. They don't give a shit about politics.
Right.
And they sure as hell don't want to be talked down to when you're saying, guess what? Now you can't even fucking leave the house. Because as you saw our fuck-ass governor, Mr. Newsom, oh, we have another wave coming. Yeah, another wave, you fuck-ass, while you're up there drinking wine in your goddamn winery. What a dickhead.
Okay.
Fuck
you. That's a perfect time to discuss this. The last point I wanted to bring up today was that while all the riots and burning and looting and all that horseshit is going down,
right,
the CDC quietly updated new information.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't catch it. A lot of people didn't know what was going on. It started trending on Twitter.
Right.
And, there were even... which we'll get to in a second. Bob's going to tell you about the meme thing.
Okay.
However, according to their newly published data, which I've talked about this ad nauseum in the past, according to their newly published data, only 6% of the deaths in the United States were actually related to just COVID. 6%.
Does that mean where COVID is the only cause, like, or like, can it, does it even include
the only cause?
Okay, so that doesn't even include, like, does that, that would mean that 6% where it's the primary cause, correct? Not secondary.
Right. It is the sole cause. That's the only thing. Now, the other 94% had 2 to 3 more comorbidities which caused their death.
What's that word again?
Which means comorbidities.
Comorbidities. That's so many syllables.
Comorbidities. So it's heart disease, diabetes, cancer. You drove your motorcycle off of a cliff. You got in a car accident. You got shot in the head. Something, something, something. 94% of people had 2 to 3 comorbidities. Okay, so 6% only. Which amounts to, out of the total number of deaths, 9,682 actually died from COVID.
Yeah, but you know,
actually died from COVID.
You know, well,
get that?
Yeah, that's insane. But it's like, I'd ask my mom this too, because my mom's a Democrat, and she's like, "Oh, you know, be safe, all this bullshit." I'm like, "Yeah, but how? What? Who died during the regular flu season?" Right. How many people?
Way more people.
Right, yeah. I'm just like, dude, none of this stuff. I was like, when you look at the long term of this, like I said, I think now, dude, the mental part of this is as bad, if not worse, than the financial loss everyone's experiencing.
It's way worse.
Just from what I'm saying, from my kid. Dude, my kid's coming in every day crying after 30 minutes going, oh my God, they just keep doing this shit. Please make it stop.
Right.
And I'm just
Younger generation, and I've noticed this, the younger generation are the ones that are the most paranoid about it because,
right,
I you know, and a lot of people say, don't make this comparison. This is their 9/11. If you want to compare terrorist attack to terrorist attack, if you think both of these are a form of attack, you know, right. I don't think it's a hoax, obviously, but I do think that it's a bioweapon of some kind. It is an attack and they're politicizing it just like they do everything else. This is their first experience with something like that. So you're seeing, you know, like you're 15 to 21, you know, even a little bit older age range being severely affected, and going even younger where they're being, you know, conditioned and institutionalized in, you know, because like we're saying, like, you know, if preschool kids are being handed coloring books with kids with masks and you're going on Instagram and there's filters, you know how they have all those different face filters.
Right.
And even before coronavirus, they had all these mask filters that were pre-programming kids to make them fashion. And so now masks are becoming fashionable, you know? So within that younger age range, I think it's even more effective mentally, like you were saying, you know, cause the economy can recover, you know, the economy can recover, but once you've become indoctrinated and becomes a part of the culture,
it's hard to get out of it. Yeah.
Yes. It's tattooed.
Right. So I want people to think about this. And here's a broad picture. And these are actual numbers, okay? So the number of population in the United States is 327 million. You have 327 million citizens in the United States, and only 9,682 died directly of just COVID. And that's for people 55 and older. Most of them are in that super elderly age group, okay? 70 and above. Percentage-wise, and I want you to get this, 9,682 deaths, 327 million people in America. That's 0.000296% of you dying of COVID. So, wow. The mask mandates and the lockdowns, and everyone has to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask to be seated in a restaurant. You have to wear a mask to go in the gas station. You have to wear a mask at the grocery store. You have to wear a mask fucking everywhere, even if you're outside taking a fucking walk, because you might fucking see somebody. I want you to think about this. And God bless them. The Netherlands are no longer mandating masks in public because of scientific data showing them and proving to them that masks are ineffective at stopping COVID. What I've said for months and months and months since this shit began, the fucking flu is way goddamn worse than this fucking COVID crap. And so with this new data that was released, Bob, tell me what happened with your meme on Instagram.
Well, yeah, all I did was post a meme of what Joe Biden said or whatever the fuck came out of his mouth yesterday, where it was incoherent babble.
Yeah, I saw it.
Where he was commenting on COVID. And as soon as I posted it, I'd say like maybe 10 minutes after, I got a notification saying that, wish I could find it, but it says something to the fact that if your post contains information regarding coronavirus, we've attached a link to cdc.gov. So then I go on my post and it says, for more information about COVID-19, visit cdc.gov. So now their algorithm. So one of the big things in the 2016 election, and the reason why memes were so important, is because they bypassed algorithms. So a lot of these, like, right, you know, predictive bots and censorship bots didn't have the, you know, the capabilities to censor memes. So I believe it was Facebook that put out the, you know, the call to say, hey, we want people trained to, you know, make algorithms that can help us, you know, fact check memes. So now what's happening is when you put memes, the algorithms are picking up certain keywords and catchphrases and then directing your attention to the corrupt CDC. So it's another instance in which they're trying to guide you to a specific narrative just on a meme alone.
And keep in mind, I'm going to remind everyone that when that whole Facebook thing came out where they were putting out a call for people to get around algorithms, there was a monetary reward involved in that. And also General McChrystal, which General McChrystal, the shady little badoodle that he is, was also mentioned in the Shadowgate video. So keep that in mind. But I want to read to you what Bob's meme was. And this is actually what came out of Joe Biden's mouth yesterday. COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. It's just, I mean, think about it. More lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
Like what?
What?
What? COVID.
Wait. Another part. Okay, and the message underneath the meme that Instagram decided to post said, for information about COVID-19, visit cdc.gov.
Yeah.
So if you have the word COVID, that's when it that's what it's going to direct you to?
Hell, test it out. See if it works for anybody else. You know, you can even steal the meme that I have. Try posting on yours and see if you get the same, you know, bot or same result that I got. You know,
hey,
Honestly,
you guys want to hear something really weird? When I was riding my short bus yesterday, I saw this old guy with white hair and a couple of pizza boxes sitting across the aisle from me.
that's fucked up.
That's too
funny. The thing that was fucked up was I was hungry and they wouldn't share the pizza with me.
Okay, so I got to tell you, in the same interview from yesterday where he was doing this nonsense that no one could fucking understand, he also said, no one will be safe in Joe Biden's America.
Did he really?
He said that.
He did. He did.
I was just like, dude, or it's like when he was saying, he goes up and hugs his wife and he goes, hi, I'm Joe Biden's husband. I'm like, oh, dude. You're taking the gender shit way too far, buddy.
It's so amusing. Like every time that he speaks, I'm like, oh my God, I have to save this as a precious moment in time because it's hilarious. And then people are like, we need Joe over Trump because Joe Biden will know how to run the country. Joe Biden can't even form a coherent sentence. Coherent. Sorry about that.
That's right.
That was beer slang.
That's right.
Can't even do a coherent sentence, but you're going to trust him to negotiate with foreign powers and have the new codes and all that stuff. I'm sorry, but I don't get it.
Did you see when he was actually delivering those pizzas in that little, optics thing he did the other day? And there was a guy out there and he said, hey, Joe, I'm glad to see you made it out of the basement. And he turned around and walked away. It was hilarious.
Well, and the thing is, like, somebody asked one of his campaign surrogates today on the news as to why, because, you know, he gave that press event yesterday. As to why he refused to answer questions again. And the surrogate said, Trump is the president and he should have to. Biden is the ex-vice president. And so he doesn't have to speak on policy or anything because they've had such a clear message on their policy that they don't have to answer questions.
Don't you know that that's kind of in the fucking job description? My God, man. See, he doesn't even know what position he's running for. Hi, I'm running for working at the fucking hot dog shack in the mall. My name's Joe Biden. And when I'm done, I'm going to, you know, cornhole myself with this fucking thing.
Unbelievable. I like to make references to weird stuff all the time, but I don't know if you guys remember that YouTube thing that was like these two guys and they're like, why are you asking all these questions? Why are you asking all these questions? And that's kind of where I see Joe Biden at, him and Kamala, because, you know, Biden couldn't even give the quote rebuttal after the RNC. Kamala had to give it.
Oh, come on, Joe, man.
Joe can't answer any questions after things, but Kamala can. And I'm just going to say, if you can't even answer questions from the press, who fields you softballs 24/7,
T-ball,
and doesn't ask you anything difficult. Yeah, it's like the T-ball league when you're five.
Imagine a debate.
The debate, I'm going to get me my own fireworks and popcorn and a lot of beer. Because that's going to be fucking really entertaining.
Oh, dude.
Just going to say.
All I can say is pre-call the hospital because you're going to split your ribs laughing at that shit.
Oh, man.
I know, right? It's going to be like the best comedy event of the season.
I mean, this is
the best reality show I've ever seen. I don't understand why people don't tune into this. It's better than anything I've ever seen, honestly.
Oh, man.
I know, right?
And it's right outside your door. That's what's
Kabuki
so nice.
Theater, man. Kabuki Theater. I love it.
So I'm going to do something a little off kilter today. I want everybody who's listening, if they have not already, sign up for 4deep.com because we're going to migrate our podcast over there because we have a censorship issue. And next week, you're going to want to fucking tune in because I'm going to talk about censored cancer treatments. Have a great show planned for next week, and the site is going to be opening next week. So, if you haven't signed up, go over there and sign up. There's going to be chats. There's going to be forums. We're going to have Periscopes. Our podcast is going to be on there. No Mercy's going to be on there. You're going to be able to find all of your favorite people. So, anyway, do that.
I'd make sure you archive all your podcasts, Miss Deplorable Janet, as well.
Yes, I did. I already did because, you know, since they removed me from everywhere, I lost all of my old episodes on the actual sites, but I have them saved on my computer. So, anywho, we're going to have merch. You're going to want to buy merch. And there's going to be the 4deep merch. There's going to be No Mercy merch. Each individual eventually is going to have merch. I'm going to have merch. You need to buy it because we're pretty fucking awesome. So anyway, closing thoughts for today. Mr. Matt, we'll kick it to you first.
I'd just like to say thank you to everybody who's, you know, especially the parents and, you know, around the world, but United States as well, just like supporting me and all this, because it's a lot to deal with. And I mean, it really is like taking its toll on me. It's, you know, I'm doing this for all the kids here. I'm doing this so the parents can have an actual choice and be aware of what's going on. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, these are our kids, not the states, not the governments. You know, we have school choice, and it's just, this doesn't benefit these kids. Like I said, I'm seeing my daughter becoming horribly depressed. So, if you want to help me out, definitely just follow me on Twitter at Jerry M. Moss. And yeah, it's doing really well, and I appreciate everybody's support. So thank you.
Amen. Mr. Bob, what's your final thoughts?
Yeah, man, just to kind of echo that sentiment, you know, this is kind of a existential battle for the next generation. So I'll be thinking about your kid as well as a lot of the other kids, even the ones that are being indoctrinated. And I saw I actually saw a quote from a concerned parent saying, I mean, it might be at the point where we're going to need like re-education, you know, programs after crap, you know.
That's no joke, dude. Seriously.
That's true.
My final thought is, it's funny, every single episode I've been on, I've received a text from Janet at some point saying, keep talking, I have to go pee. So I know Janet,
amen.
Janet's 4deep, you know. So yeah, go sign up for at 4deep.com, because that, like I said, that's where, or that's what she said.
That's what she said.
Nice. I love it.
That's where we're going to be migrating, man. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know, give us a censorship free place where patriots and others, anybody's welcome, can come hang out and, you know, shoot the shit or talk shit, you know? So that's why we do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen to that. And my final thoughts today are, Jesus, I do have to pee all the time. And, you know, little teeny pee bladder. So anyway, we're tired of the censorship. We're going to be bringing you a lot more content. Of course, our podcast is going to be on there. There's going to be chats, forums. It's a one-stop shop for everything. But I want you to know, yours truly and Bob and whoever else are also going to be writing lots of articles. So if you like my interesting brain, chaotic brain series and stuff, make sure you tune in. You're going to want to read some of the articles. You're going to want to follow us. We do a lot of deep research. So anyway, but I want you to know, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for paying attention to us, for giving us a voice, giving us a platform, and for always being dedicated members of our team, we think of you as family. So for all the people out there still suffering and going through things, I'm still praying for you. Through God, all things are possible. So anyway, for me, for Bob, and for Matt, we shall see you next time. Love you and peace out.
Later.